It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, zooming in from Arizona these days and launching into an interesting discussion of some things that come up quite often in your counseling, I hear, and that's kind of more life management issues, and you want to talk about that this week.
Yeah, it does boil down to life management for a lot of people, and I think that what I've found in my own life recently, and in the lives of the people I've been counseling, it seems like the focus is becoming more and more fine, the focus more sharp on just what life is about. And I think that we talk about life management could be improving our marriage, could be improving the direction of life, like coaching. I think that typically when we speak of life management, we're really talking about situation management. Mm. What do we mean by situation management? Probably more like stress management or stressor management. We've talked about the inbox and organizing the inbox, prioritizing things in life. And even to say that, if you step back from the idea of prioritizing things in life, how are you going to prioritize things in life if you don't understand the purpose of life? I remember in school, this reminds me, taking notes in school, and I remember a typical situation where the teacher would, stand at the front of the class and say, take out a pencil and paper and take notes. I'm going to be doing a lecture. And so I would look around, and the brighter students would be putting down Roman numeral one. And I always had this big question in my mind about, how do I know what Roman numeral one is until I've heard the whole lecture? And so I wouldn't bother to put down Roman numeral one. So my notes were all over the space. The intention was to come back later and organize them, but I was not a good organizer of time. So I never got back to organize the notes. So they went in the trash can. But we think about prioritizing things in life, but they must, we have to have some understanding of life. Seeing the forest from the trees and all these various analogies that we have. And then again, so what is stress management? And so I was thinking, there's not a lot of difference between stress management and tribulation management. When we think of tribulation, I remember the scripture from John 16:33, where, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he says, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And when we hear that, we naturally think of, well, he's talking about tribulation, as in the great tribulation, or tribulation because there are evil people in the world. Mm. And there is a context in those scriptures that suggests that. But here in the Western world, if we limit tribulation to the great tribulation or evil people in the world, they don't touch us that directly. I mean, not like they do in other parts of the world. Right. Our daily tribulations come down to things like talking to a person this past week that there was a medical emergency, and stacked on top of that was the stolen cell phone, and stacked on top of that was the broken truck. And these are the tribulations of the daily tribulations of the Western world.
Kind of first world problems.
Yeah, first world problem. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's all we know, so we've got to deal with them.
Yeah, and really, so what are we learning? Is God more active in Pakistan? And the U.S. is kind of like in a holding pattern, and he'll get around to us later. Right now, all we need to do is find the stolen cell phone and fix the broken truck. and go to church and just kind of abide until when a situation rises, hopefully we'll match it. But it's something going on meanwhile, and so if managing life is managing these little tribulations or winning the struggle, what's it for? So I put down here, in order to manage anything, we first have to understand it. What is it? What's it for? If managing life is managing these tribulations, and let's call them tribulations because the Bible doesn't talk about rejoicing in situations or rejoicing in stress, but it does talk about joying in tribulation. And so I think that these things, stress management, situation management, should fall under the canopy of tribulation management, even though it's not the great tribulation or tribulation necessarily because of evil people. But just, in the world, you will have tribulation. And so, I was focusing on that verse this past week and, focusing on the verse this past week and thinking, I don't think Jesus is saying that in the world you've got these evil people, evil actors in the world, and but I've overcome the evil actors. And yet, today we find evil, we're surrounded by evil actors. And so I don't think that's what he was talking about. I think it was more, but you listeners, you people listening to the radio station, you go to the scripture and figure and see if I'm right. But it seems to me that what Christ is saying here is this is what the world is about. And we've talked about our bodies being hazmat suits. And so this is what the world is about. And so you're going to have this. You're going to have these tribulations. Yeah, there's the great tribulation coming, and there's evil actors in the world. But you've also got the medical situation, the broken truck, and the stolen cell phone, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what you're going to get in the world. But I've overcome the world. What should that mean to us today? In the first world countries where. Are we here to learn some things, or has our time not yet come? And so I wanted to look at another scripture verse here too. Matthew 6:22 and 23. It talks about the eye. It says the eye is or the light of the body is the eye. Sometimes, and when I was jotting this down, and I thought, doesn't it also say the light is the or the eye is the window of the soul? And I looked for that. I found out that no, that was Shakespeare. And actually, people, when I Googled this scripture verse, that one came up too.
Interesting.
And this is construed a lot of times. This biblical verse is flipped on its top to mean that, yeah, you can look into somebody's eyes and tell a lot about them, and that has nothing to do with this scripture. This is not about, this is about your perspective. This is, if the light of the body is the eye, it says if the eye is single, then the whole body will be filled with light. But if the eye is evil, the body will be filled with darkness. And I just want to take a moment.
What does it mean to have an eye that is single? What does that mean?
Didn't get time to look that up, but in English, the English language typically has done a very, very good job of breaking down the Hebrew and the Greek. So, I think we can go with that. So think of it as just singleness, instead of confused or various or mixed focus or something, but so if there's a single focus. But it is interesting that in the scripture here it presents single as the opposite of evil.
Interesting.
And I think the takeaway here for me is just how thin the line is between what God wants us to know and everything else.
Is this does this correspond to the other idea, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways? the being double-minded? Is that the same idea in that section, or is that talking about something else?
It's similar, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's typically what we think of. But if we just take that at face value, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But that doesn't really speak to, I mean, a secular man can be single-minded.
Mm.
And you see, and so it's good to be single-minded and focused, particularly if you're trying to run a business or fly an airplane or drive a car down the freeway.
Mm.
But what is the biblical context, or what is the spiritual context of that? Because life is not about getting down the freeway without hitting someone or having a successful business. Life is about knowing God. So when we talk about the context of, it gets to the point of this too, because you could say a person with single vision or a very clear objective in their life, like let's say a secular person, an agnostic person whose purpose in life is to be debt-free by the time they're in their mid-30s and to have a couple million bucks in the bank. And so they have their heart set on that, and they're taking engineering courses or whatever, or doctor's training or something like that. You say, well, they're well on their way. And this really applies to the scripture here. If the eye is single, the whole body is full of light. So here we have this secular non-believer whose eye is single. That is not what this scripture verse is about. This has to do with God. It's about how fine the line is between who God is, what we're intended to learn in life, and everything else. So everything else is evil. Now, not evil in the sense of evil acts, robbery, murder, but where God is concerned, it is either good or it is evil. And so evil is this broad highway leading to destruction, and good is this very, very narrow path. And we don't like to think of it that way, because we like to give ourselves a lot of latitude for behavior. But ultimately, good gets very, very narrow. And so when we're talking about managing life, we're talking about this idea of, we have to understand life first and know that, well, what is its purpose? What is it for? And so I think at this point, Mark, are we getting a little close to a break, by the way?
We can take a break if you want. Yeah, we're about break time.
Okay, let's take our break now, and then I want to get into talking about going back to the beginning, so that we can understand, get a sense of what life is about. And I would tell people at this point, this is probably going to be a two-part show. And so if you're listening to this, we're not going to wrap it up in this show. There'll be a follow-up show on it.
Okay.
And
posted. Daniel has really opened a can of worms. How to manage life. What's the meaning of life? Kind of big subjects today. But this, ironically, this is a question that comes up a lot in his counseling work. And people need counseling, whether it's life coaching or marital counseling, whatever it is. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, it's the phone number is 425-778-6169. Again, 425-778-6169. One more time, 425-778-6169. Also through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you will find all these radio shows on the podcast. And I would just put a plug in here. I am licensed now also in Arizona. So if you know people in Arizona that could benefit from this, or if you're in Arizona listening to this in the future on the podcast, yes, just know that I'm available there too.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel delving into the subject of life management this week, zooming in once again from Arizona. and kind of a big subject. This will be a two-part series, so this is part one this week. And continuing on this idea of being single-minded, being focused in our life and how that is God's plan for us as opposed to being unfocused, because that is evil. We got to have God number one in our life, be pursuing Him. I like the idea, too, Daniel talks about in the Bible, the road to hell is wide, and you kind of touched on this before the break, but the path to heaven is narrow, and that's a hard thing to kind of learn through life.
We will get into that in the second part of this show next week, where we will talk about getting right down to personality and what it really means to manage life and what that has to do with managing ourselves. Before we took the break, we were talking about the Matthew 6:23. The eye is the light of the body, and so if the eye is single or focused, then the body is full of light. But if the eye is evil, and so let's say not focused, blurry, then the whole body is filled with darkness. What's the point of this? The point of this scripture is that perspective is everything. If you're looking in the wrong direction. I had a client years ago who got himself strung out on heroin. He was using a credit card that he had somehow gotten from his dad's. He had somehow applied for a credit card on his dad's by forging his dad's name to an application, and he wound up getting a number of credit cards. And one by one, he maxed them out and used the money to buy heroin. Mm. And when he was talking to me, he said, "I didn't mean to use the cards illegally." And the thing was, well, you have an illegal Visa card. You can't use it in any other way than illegally. Mm. You can't use an illegal Visa card legally. And this gets to this verse is saying, if your eye is single, but if your eye is not, there's nothing you can do that's correct. The whole body is full with darkness. And so many Christians today are walking along a path that they think is light, but the eye is not focused correctly. And so everything that enters into them, every opinion that they have is based on something other than light. And next week, we're going to talk about, well, what's it based on? Well, it's based on some false beliefs that are back in there. And so, some viruses on the hard drive, might say. Uh-huh. I wanted to take the rest of this show then to say, well, okay, then how should we properly focus? So let's go back to the very beginning. We want to understand what life is about so that we can manage life. I brought up the situation that I heard of earlier this week with a medical emergency, and then a stolen phone, and then a broken truck. We all face those kinds of things. My wife and I do too. Just the ins and outs of life, daily things. Solving those problems is not all there is to life. Life is about getting to know God. And so what did I find out about God in that situation where the phone wouldn't work, or the internet crashed and I couldn't get online for a week? Or, what did I learn about God? Because life is not about just situation management. It's about tribulation management. And the tribulation has to do with something about learning from God. If we're not learning about God, if we're not getting to know God, then we're not getting the point of it. So I wanted to go take a moment and go back to the beginning and say, well, what was life about? The seeds of life were planted in the very beginning. And those early passages in Genesis 1 are just packed with information, seed information that is supposed to inform on what life is about and what this whole business of tribulation is about. So I'll go into part of it. So in the beginning, God, and so we've heard sermons on that, in the beginning, God, and you could build a whole sermon on just in the beginning, God. You hear I was thinking about the secular science over the millennia, thousands and thousands and thousands of years, trying to explain the origin of life, and it continues today, looking for, where did life begin? I just chuckle sometimes when I hear that, because life did not begin. There is no beginning of life. You're not going to find a beginning of life. Life didn't begin. Life has always been. They may discover behaviors of life, but they will never discover the beginning of life, because life is God. God always existed. Life always existed. It didn't begin at any time. And so in the beginning, God, and then the next thing that we have is light and dark. And that's very important. God, and then light and dark. Let's look back at that scripture. The eye is the light of the body. And so it's light and darkness, light and darkness. You have God, and then you have light and dark. And then you have man created with moral choice. And what's he supposed to choose between? Well, he's supposed to choose between good and evil, light and dark. And so we have this God, then we have light and dark, then we have man created with moral choice. And moral choice is really what I've been thinking about. Moral choice this week is, what is moral choice? Moral choice is where the desires and the needs, the appetites of the flesh meet the law. That's what moral choice is. That's a moment of moral choice. Moral choice is always about the knowledge of good and evil. It's where the flesh, with its needs and its appetites, desires, meets the law. Now, what do I mean by the law? So somebody was saying, do you mean the Ten Commandments? Not necessarily. Ten Commandments was like a thumbnail sketch. That was a very, very broad lens to get a lot of people moving in a general direction. But when it comes down to, following Christ, walking in the light as he is in the light, he said, even if you think of adultery in your mind, you've committed it. The line is much, much finer than just don't go out and kill somebody. If you say you hate your brother, you can't love God. So he said the focus is much narrower than that. The law can also be what Scripture refers to as the law that's written in our hearts. And I think Paul brought out in Romans where that if people who don't know God live according to their conscience, they are there is an aspect of righteousness to where God can write his law in our hearts. And this is not the Ten Commandments, but this is a finer law. And so we could boil it down to saying our conscience, for the most part, or largely. So I could find myself in a situation that is getting me angry, getting me upset, and my conscience says to me, you shouldn't be overreacting. You shouldn't be letting this stress you out. And so one way of handling that is to say, oh, that's right. I know I need to count to 10, or I need to take 10 deep breaths, or I need to call the, and situation management. But I need to go beyond that. And I need to say, this is not just situation management. This is a moment of the knowledge of good and evil. This is a knowledge of good and evil moment. And good is a very, very narrow path. And it has to do with God and God alone. And any other path is what this scripture seems to say is evil. Your eye is either single or it's evil. And it doesn't, and again, it doesn't mean evil in the sense that that it's criminal, but it's evil in the sense that it's not God. And so every situation management, every life management issue, we need to start to look at as a knowledge of good and evil moment. And so, for example, using this example of the medical situation, the cell phone, the truck, or you might look at a situation in your own life where things have mounted up and you've gotten overwhelmed, and people are calling me and saying, how do I get through this? How do I manage this? And what I want to try to get to help people to do is to find the God lesson in that situation, not just solving the situation, not just organizing the inbox, but finding the God element of that. What is the life lesson in that situation? And so this is going to lead into our next program, which is going to be going to, you know, focus down finer and try to put some legs on this thing and talk about personalities, talk about how, you know, what is life management in terms of self-management. I want to get down things down to their finest common denominator if we can.
Okay. So, life management, open up a big subject this week on the Sound Mind broadcast. You're intrigued by Daniel's approach to life coaching and counseling issues, and you want to get his services. Daniel is in Arizona these days, but he does all of his counseling on Zoom. Actually, you were going that direction the last couple of years. A lot of people prefer that kind of counseling. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. The website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Also, you can contact me through BibleBasedCounselor.com. And that's where you'll find repeats of these podcast shows, too, for yourselves. And if you know somebody in Arizona that could use my help, send them along my information. I'm licensed in Arizona, too, and trying to reach out in that community at this point as well.
Okay, Sound Mind Broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.